This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
We are listening to specific courtroom testimony in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the last day of testimony from the prosecution. As you may have heard, there will be no defense laying out arguments for Miss Vallow Daybell. They've stated they don't believe that the prosecution has laid the groundwork strong enough, so they are resting. Jury instructions to be given out very soon. They're meeting on that on this very day, the 10th, as of the publishing of this. It's going to be interesting. Let's listen to testimony now from FBI analyst Nicole Heidemann. He's back on the stand on the 9th. Let's go to the courtroom.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
That was from the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell, FBI analyst Nicole Heidemann. Back on the stand on the final day of testimony. There's more to come. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of it. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
That it is, and we are listening to specific testimony in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. We are now up to AG investigator Nicholas Edwards taking the stand in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. This is on the final day of prosecution testimony, the 9th of May, 2023. Let's take a listen.
Your Honor, the state would call Investigator Edwards.
All right.
Swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I help you, God.
Great, thanks. Okay, now that the witness has been sworn, let me just inquire before we start with testimony. Addressing Mr. Edwards, have you in any way observed any of the trial testimony, either by reading it or listening to it or observing it in any courtroom?
No, Your Honor.
All right, with that in mind, Ms. Blake, you can inquire on direct. I'll just advise the witness, please talk right into that microphone. Please avoid talking at the same time as anyone asking you a question so we keep a clear record. And use verbal responses to any questions.
Okay.
Ms. Blake, you can inquire on direct.
Thank you, Your Honor. Would you please state your name and spell it for the record?
Nicholas Edwards, N-I-C-H-O-L-A-S. Edwards is E-D-W-A-R-D-S.
Where are you currently employed?
I am currently deployed with the military, so I'm actually employed with the United States Army right now.
Do you have other employment as well?
I do.
And what is that?
So when I'm not on military orders, I am the lead investigator at the Idaho Office of the Attorney General.
How long have you been with the Armed Forces?
Since 1999.
And how long have you been with the Attorney General's office?
I was hired with the Attorney General's office in 2019.
At that time, did you become an investigator with them?
I did.
Do you have prior employment in law enforcement?
I do. I was hired by the Pocatello Police Department in 2004, and I worked there as a police officer and a detective and a commander over their SWAT team until 2019. I took employment as a law enforcement officer with the Idaho Office of the Attorney General in 2019.
Do you have any specialized training in order to be a peace officer?
I do. I have a Idaho Peace Officer Standards and Training Certificate. I have a basic, intermediate, and advanced master and supervisory certificate. I hold Idaho Post instructor certificates in a variety of topics to include SWAT tactics, sniper observer tactics, law enforcement response to active shooter. I hold instructor certificates for ALERT, which is advanced law enforcement rapid response training. I've been through approximately 3,000 hours of Idaho Post law enforcement training and have hundreds of hours of instructor time teaching law enforcement tactics to include advanced interview and interrogation courses, advanced investigation courses. So,
in your work, have you investigated homicides and or unattended deaths?
I have.
Do you generally gather information regarding the victim?
I do.
And why do you gather that information?
It's important as an investigator to understand the bigger picture, to understand a full understanding of what's happened. So understanding people around a victim, closest to them, past history, all of those things.
At some point, did you become involved in an investigation regarding the death of Tammy Daybell?
I did.
When did you become involved in that investigation?
Our office was asked to assist in the investigation of Tammy Daybell's death in April of 2020.
Had you heard of Tamara or Tammy Daybell prior to that?
Not really. A little bit on the news about the case overall, but not directly about Tammy.
When you became involved, were you aware if there were other active investigations being conducted that were related?
I was.
What were those investigations?
So when we got asked to help with the investigation, we at the Attorney General's office were aware that there was, the FBI was involved, Rexburg City, Madison County. There were other law enforcement agencies outside of Idaho as well in Arizona that were investigating the death of Charles Vallow and two missing children, JJ and Tylee.
Would it be fair to say that you also assisted or became involved in the investigation regarding the missing children?
Yes.
Would it be fair to say that this became a joint investigation?
Absolutely.
And we talked a little bit about you gathering background information on a victim. Did you end up doing that when you became involved in the investigation into Tammy Daybell's death?
I did.
What did you learn about Tammy?
I learned that Tammy was married to Chad Daybell, and that they had been raised in Utah. They had lived there together. They had five children, and that they moved to Fremont, Idaho, or Fremont County, Idaho, in 2015.
Did you learn what Tammy did for employment?
After they moved to Idaho, she was working at an elementary school in Fremont County as a librarian and a technology specialist.
Through your investigation, did you learn who Chad Daybell was?
I did.
And who is Chad Daybell in relation to the investigation?
Chad Daybell is the spouse of Tamara Daybell.
Did you learn who he later married?
I did.
And who was that?
Lori Vallow.
Did you learn anything else about Lori Vallow in regards to the investigation?
I did a number of things. One of those was that she had a brother named Alex Cox and was previously married to Charles Vallow.
And at some point in your investigation, did you learn of Charles being killed?
I did.
Do you know when he was killed?
In July of 2019.
And do you know who was alleged to have shot him?
Or
who
Alex did Cox. Him?
Did you learn of a connection between Chad and Alex Cox?
I did.
What was that connection?
Lori was the connection between Alex Cox and Chad Daybell.
Prior to Charles being killed, did you learn anything regarding divorce proceedings between he and Lori?
Between Charles and Lori?
Charles and Lori.
Yes, they had initiated a divorce in February of 2019.
So prior to just the February prior to Charles being killed, there were some divorce proceedings initiated?
Correct.
Did you learn anything in your investigation regarding any divorce proceedings between Tammy and Chad?
No.
Were there any divorce proceedings between Tammy and Chad?
No.
As part of your investigation, did you review various phone extractions, the data obtained from them, or other documents?
I did.
Did you also speak with other officers, detectives, or investigators?
Yes.
Did you, through your investigation, I am missing one slide, just a moment. Through your investigation, did you review some messages between Chad and Lori in early October?
I did.
Did you also learn of a trip Tammy took to Utah?
I did.
Do you know when that trip was taken?
October 4th and 5th of 2019.
Through your investigation, did you learn why Tammy had taken that trip?
She'd been urged by Chad to take that trip to see her parents in Utah.
And, Your Honor, I'm going to ask that the witness be shown State's Exhibit 184F.
Counsel, can we keep a copy of this? Can we keep a copy of this?
Yes, sorry. There is a copy for defense, the court, a courtesy copy for Your Honor as well. Okay. Yes, if you would please look at that. Do you recognize the contents on that page?
I do.
And did you, in fact, prepare that?
I did.
Does that appear to contain messages that you had looked at in regards to your investigation?
They are, yes.
Your Honor, I would ask for the admission of States 184F.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Exhibit 184F is admitted.
And, Your Honor, I would ask for permission to publish that.
You may publish it.
Can you see those on the screen in front of you?
I can.
Could you indicate the date, who the message was sent from, and to whom, and read the messages into the record?
The top message was October 3rd, 2019, from Chad to Lori.
I know the light's on this, but can you see it on the screen in front of you?
I can, yeah.
And if you could indicate again the date and time, who the message was from, who it was sent to, and then read them into the record.
Okay. The top message, October 3rd, 2019, from Chad to Lori, 21:31 hours. Quote, "Good night, Angel Lily, so excited to go on our date." And then there's a fire emoji.
And second, then next one.
Okay. October 4th, 2019, text from Chad to Lori, at, I think that says 0420 hours. Dreaming of caressing you in your bed. I adore you and sholo you. Heart and fire emoji. October 4th through the 5th, 2019, Chad had urged Tammy to visit her family in Springville, Utah.
So these messages would have been sent just prior to that trip to Utah?
Correct.
And those were in early October. Was there another date in October a little later that you focused on?
I did.
What date was that?
There was an attempted shooting of Tammy Daybell on October 9th, 2019.
And again, that had occurred prior to you becoming involved in the investigation, correct?
It had.
Why did you end up looking into that date and information surrounding it?
Because subsequently she was killed 10 days after that on October 19th.
Did you review with other investigators CAST data?
I did.
Did you look at that data yourself as well?
I did.
Did you look at anything with regard to the whereabouts of a device linked to Homer J. Maximus and subsequently linked to Alex Cox?
Yes.
And on October 9th, do you recall anything that stood out to you with regard to that device?
Yes.
And what was that?
The movements attached to that device were actually observed going down to the Sportsman's Warehouse in the middle of the day on October 9th in Idaho Falls. And then shortly after that, they moved north and drove past the Daybell residence twice.
Through your investigation, did you find any link between Tammy Daybell and Alex Cox?
No.
Any indication that they knew each other?
None.
Tammy was married to Chad?
Correct.
Chad knew Alex through Lori?
Correct.
Was that the only connection?
The only connection I could find.
As part of your investigation, did you also review cell phone data and or iCloud data or other data surrounding contact between specific individuals on October 9th to October 10th of 2019?
I did.
And, Your Honor, I'm going to ask that the witness be shown State's Exhibit 184C.
Am I good to look at this?
Yes, if you would please look at that. And do you recognize what's on that slide in front of you?
I do.
And is that, in fact, a document created by you or that you assisted in creating?
Yes, I created this.
Would that aid in your testimony today?
It would.
And, Your Honor, I would move for the admission, and I just handed my copies with the number on it.
It's 184C.
I would move for the admission of 184C.
Any objection?
Yes, Your Honor, we believe this to be cumulative, and this is just a rehash of things that have already been said by other people.
What's the response on that, Ms. Blake?
Your Honor, the response on that, and I don't know if the court wants me to go into all of it.
Just briefly, it's a cumulative objection.
The state's position would be that this is not cumulative. I think the standard for that is needlessly, the court reiterated yesterday, some case law regarding summary, the approval of summary witnesses, in addition to the fact of some of the cross-examination that has taken place. I think this is allowable. I would also indicate that the state's position would be this is not cumulative, and it is not needlessly cumulative, specifically.
All right. Upon review of Exhibit 184C, the court would determine it can be allowed as a demonstrative exhibit, not as evidence.
Given his last, given the last question, may I voir dire an aid of an objection?
Yes, you may.
Thank you. You've indicated that the state asked you if you prepared this or if you helped prepare this. Is that correct?
Yes.
Did you prepare it?
I did.
Did you help to prepare it?
I prepared this in front of me.
You prepared that yourself?
Yes.
No help?
No help.
Okay. No objection, Judge.
Okay. So 184C is admitted. Again, this is the work of the witness here as a summary, so it's a demonstrative exhibit. It's not evidence. We'll instruct the jurors to that effect, both now and in the jury instructions.
And I would ask permission to publish, Your Honor.
You can publish.
And, Your Honor, this is not wanting to cooperate, so I'm just going to ask that the witness be handed back this exhibit. And, Your Honor, I just verified with defense counsel. I do have a copy of it on my laptop. I don't believe counsel will have an objection to me publishing it from the laptop.
Very well. If there's no objection, then it comes from that source.
It's my understanding it's exactly the same as what the paper shows.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Thomas.
And it may not want to play off of this either, so I'll just ask the witness be handed back that exhibit.
Very well.
Thank you.
On that document, there's a breakdown of some messages between some individuals. Can you indicate what it was that stood out to you about the contact between who the individuals were and what stood out to you about that contact on October 9th to October 10th?
So this breakdown shows there were 90 calls and text messages between Alex, Chad, Zulema, and Lori between 9:12 a.m. on the 9th and 2:28 in the morning on the morning of the 10th. Then I broke that down a little further in this. There were 8 text messages between Alex and Chad between 1:19 p.m. to 1:22 p.m. Alex Cox and Chad Daybell's phone devices were at or near each other between 1:22 p.m. and 2:20 p.m. There were then 15 text messages between Alex and Chad between 7:13 p.m. and 8:43 p.m. And then the attempted shooting occurred between 9:15 p.m. and 9:25 p.m. And then the last block was four messages between Alex and Chad between 10:28 p.m. and 10:29 p.m. on the night of the 9th.
Did you review messages and calls on dates other than October 9th to October 10th?
I did.
Did the number of calls that were occurring between these dates stand out to you?
It did.
And why was that?
There were significantly more during this date.
And, Your Honor, could we have a brief sidebar?
Yes. All right, the state's requested an opportunity to take a look at the tech they need for this witness, and we'll take a mid-morning recess to allow them time to try to sort that out. So at this point, we'll go ahead and take our morning break.
All right, please.
Thank you. Please be seated. All right, Ms. Blake, were you able to sort out the issue with the technology?
I believe we figured it out. I think they brought in a new Elmo.
Okay, great.
And I maybe would indicate now, and I can put this on the record once the jurors are here, but I did on the break, I did ask to be handed a few exhibits that had previously been admitted. I can wait till the jury comes back in if you want, but I just wanted to let the court know that we had asked to be handed a couple exhibits.
Okay. Let's wait till the jurors are brought in, please. So let's go ahead and have the jurors brought in.
This one never got admitted. I don't think that was in the other book.
We can do the trade-off because you're good.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Bailiff. Please be seated. Going back on the record, KCR 2221-1624, State of Idaho versus Lori Noreen Vallow. We just concluded the morning break. The court would note the jurors are all present and properly seated, as is counsel and the defendant. Ms. Blake, if you'd like to continue with your direct examination, you may.
Thank you, Your Honor. And I believe we have the tech issues fixed. If I could publish 184C.
Yes, that was admitted. You may.
And just for the benefit of the jury, now that we have this in front of us, what are we seeing on this slide?
So this was the breakdown slide that I had created with the 90 calls and text messages between Alex, Chad, Zulema, and Lori, and then specifically broke down between who was talking to who with and also where those electronic devices were located at a certain time. The attempted shooting, the second one from the bottom, that occurred between 9:15 and 9:25, and then four additional text messages between Alex and Chad between 10:28 p.m. and 10:29 p.m.
And again, this was a summary of your review of those, so not all 90 calls or texts are reflected on this.
Correct.
And again, was the 90 calls slash text messages between those individuals a significant amount from your review of the records?
Yes.
And as part of your investigation into the attempted or surrounding the attempted shooting as part of the homicide investigation, did you end up actually traveling up to the Daybell property?
I did.
And, Your Honor, I have previously admitted State's Exhibit 10A and 10B. I don't know that the defense has been shown those recently. If I could have those shown to defense.
Yes.
Yes, and Your Honor, where those have already been admitted, I would ask to be allowed to publish those.
Any objection? They may be published.
Are you able to recognize what residence this photo is depicting?
That is the Daybell residence.
And Your Honor, for the record, that is State's Exhibit 10B.
Okay.
You personally went up to this residence?
I did.
Your Honor, I've just published State's Exhibit 10A. Investigator Edwards, can you tell us what we're seeing here?
That is an overhead photo of the Daybell property, with the front of the residence being to the left where that car is. I don't know if this works. I'll try this. Right there. That would be the front of the residence from the previous photo you just showed, the Daybell property.
And through your investigation, did you look into or learn where Tammy generally parked?
I did.
Where was that?
Typically, I learned that she would come to the property and come down the long driveway, which is on this side of the property here, that she would park in what I call the back of the residence and then enter through a back door on that side of the property.
On the night of the attempted shooting, did you learn that she did something different?
She did. She parked in the front of the residence with the picture you just had shown.
And did you learn through your investigation that she would have parked similar to how that vehicle is parked?
Yes.
Through your investigation, did you become aware of some firearms that were recovered during a search of an apartment associated with Alex Cox?
I did.
Did you ever personally observe those firearms?
I did.
Your Honor, I've been handed State's Exhibit 281B. It was previously admitted. I had shown that to defense counsel during the break. I don't know if they want to see it again, but I would ask to be allowed to publish it.
Any objection to publishing it?
No, Your Honor.
It can be published.
From your review of those firearms, were there any that stood out to you?
Yes, the black firearm that you're seeing there is the 6.5 millimeter Grendel.
Are you familiar with those?
I am.
Are you familiar with firearms in general?
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about your familiarity with firearms and specifically ARs?
I've used one both in the military and in law enforcement for the better part of 20 years. This particular Grendel is a 6.5 millimeter. Typically, we use 223s, a little bit different, but same platform style.
Have you done any kind of trainings or taught other individuals anything with regard to shooting?
Yes, I'm a certified sniper observer instructor for post. I've been through a lot of long distance sniper courses, and have trained students in precision riflemen.
And through your investigation, did you learn what type of firearm was reported, to have been pointed at and or shot at Tammy Daybell?
It was reported that it was possibly a paintball gun.
Do you have experience with paintball guns?
I do.
What is your experience with paintball guns?
We use paintball guns in law enforcement and military training as well all the time. Very similar to something like this, AR-style platform paintball guns.
And in your training and experience, do you believe that the paintball gun and an AR can resemble each other?
They could.
And could you explain a little bit about that?
Well, I guess the base of the weapon might look similar, and the hopper that generally sits on top or where you feed the paintballs could be mistaken for a scope.
And could they be mistaken by someone that doesn't have experience with firearms?
I believe they could.
I'm objecting. This is speculative. She's now generalizing.
This is sustained as speculative. Move to strike. I'm sorry. The answer will be stricken.
Thank you.
As part of your investigation, did you also review an email that had been sent from Tammy to her son, Mark?
I did.
And do you recall in that email that she had referenced individuals in the neighborhood having some theories about who may have been the attempted shooter?
Yes.
Did you follow up on some of those reports?
I did.
And what did you do?
I actually contacted the neighbor directly south, spoke with them about paintball guns, kids in the area. One of the neighbors reported to me that there was kids that wanted to do a paintballing activity.
I'm going to object, as this is hearsay.
Sustained.
Did you learn anything with regard to whether or not individuals in the neighborhood or juveniles in the neighborhood tended to own paintball guns?
Yes.
What did you learn?
They did not have any.
When you conduct an investigation, do you go where the evidence takes you?
Yes.
And as you did some follow-up, did that change the course of your investigation?
No.
Did you do additional follow-up regarding that attempted shooting?
Yes.
And what was that?
I talked to a number of people in the area, neighbors, reviewing the reports, evidence that I had received.
As part of your investigation, did you review some searches associated with a Homer J. Maximus account?
I did.
Were there any of those searches that stood out to you?
There were.
What were some of those?
On October 8th, there was a search for Grendel 6.5 Grendel drop from 100 to 300 yards.
And why would that stand out to you?
Based on my training and experience, what they're searching for, the searcher's looking for drop, which has to do with trajectory of the bullet being fired from a Grendel, and what that bullet does from 100 to 300 yards. As the bullets, the further you go back, they drop.
And is when you talk about the drop, is the ending point of that drop where it would hit the target?
Correct.
So if you're searching for a drop, you're trying to figure out how far you can shoot and hit the target.
Yes, and you're really looking to see what kind of adjustment you need to make on a scope to compensate for the drop is what you're looking for.
And in the firearms recovered from the apartment associated with Alexander Cox, were there scopes recovered?
There were.
And can you describe the different parts of this firearm?
You've got the upper and lower receiver.
Object. There's two firearms there.
The lower firearm.
You may answer.
Okay. The lower firearm, the black firearm, it's got an upper and a lower receiver on that weapon. It's actually connected with two pins, and then it's got a scope on top.
And the scope is what would be adjusted for the drop?
Correct.
As part of your investigation, did you also look into phone calls made surrounding the time of the attempted shooting between others than those, than Zulema, Alex, Lori, and Chad?
I did.
And, Your Honor, I will ask that the witness be shown State's Exhibit 184D.
I assume I can keep a copy?
Yes.
Counsel?
Yes.
Thank you.
Do you recognize what's contained on this page?
I do.
And did you, in fact, create this?
I did.
And is it a timeline from October 9th of 2019?
It is.
Is it containing a timeline for specific times?
Yes.
And what are those times?
So it has times, but text message times are in there between individuals, Chad and Lori, Alex and Chad. There's also a time in there that a casting was being conducted between Lori and Zulema. There's an attempted shooting time on there. There's a time when Emma, who had been Tammy's daughter.
Yeah, this has not been admitted into evidence. He's just reading from it. I'm going to object.
Sustained.
Did you create this in preparation for your testimony today?
I did.
And is it a summary of some of the events and messages and phone data that you reviewed?
Yes.
And would it aid in your testimony today?
It would.
Your Honor, I would move for the admission of this exhibit.
Any objection?
Yes, Your Honor. I believe it contains hearsay, not within any exception. He also testified that it contained some of it he had reviewed himself, and so I'm going to object to that on those grounds.
Your Honor, and I would indicate that it is just for demonstrative purposes and to aid in his testimony, not necessarily, it wouldn't be going for the truth of the matter of anything regarding what defense counsel's alleging is hearsay. It would be for what he does in his investigation.
All right, the court's considered the objections lodged as well as the response from the state. Exhibit 184D will be admitted for demonstrative purposes only, not as evidence for the jurors to consider, and they'll be instructed of the limited nature of that particular exhibit, and the objections overruled.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would allow permission to publish.
You can publish it.
So did you create this timeline based on your investigation?
Yes.
And your review?
Correct.
Could you take us through what we're seeing here?
So again, it's a timeline broke down between different events that I felt were pertinent in this. So there were text messages between Chad and Lori, Alex and Chad. At approximately 8:30, there was a casting between Lori and Zulema. You move down six text messages between Lori and Zulema. The attempted shooting occurs at 9:15, or approximately. Two text messages between Chad and Lori. There's a phone call from Emma to her mother, Tammy. And then Joseph Murray, who is Emma's husband, calls 911 at 9:41. Fremont County deputies are dispatched at 9:45. And then Tammy herself calls dispatch at 9:49. Fremont County deputies arrived at 9:52. And then while Fremont County deputies are on scene, Alex and Lori are texting, Chad and Alex are texting, Chad and Lori are texting.
I'm going to have you slow down.
Sorry, I will slow down. Arrived on scene. There were text messages between Alex and Lori, Chad and Alex, and Chad and Lori. And then at 10:42, the Fremont County deputy clears. Shortly after, there's a phone call of 38 minutes between Alex and Zulema, and then three text messages. Now we're into the night of the 10th, or the morning of the 10th, rather, between Zulema and Alex. I apologize.
So after the attempted shooting, you had discovered contact between Alex and Lori?
Yes.
Chad and Alex?
Yes.
And Chad and Lori?
Yes.
And there was a note of a casting being conducted through your investigation. Did you learn who that casting was being conducted on?
Yes.
And who was that?
Tammy Daybell.
So the casting was being conducted the night of the attempted shooting?
Correct.
Did you locate any additional searches on Homer J. Maximus that stood out in your mind?
I did.
What were some of those?
On the 9th, there was also a search for how to clean an AR and additional searches regarding what a Grendel round or bullet might do through a Dodge Dakota or a windshield and the thickness of a door of a particular vehicle.
Why did those stand out to you?
Because the Daybells owned a Dodge Dakota, and naturally it caught my attention.
And were those searches done around the time of the attempted shooting?
They were.
Did you focus on some additional dates in October?
I did.
What dates were those?
The 19th, the 18th, and the 19th.
And why did you focus on those dates?
That was the report. 19th was the reported date of Tammy Daybell.
As part of your investigation surrounding those dates, did you also look at phone data regarding contact between specific individuals?
I did.
Did you look at phone contact between Chad and Lori and Alex?
I did.
Did you also look at some phone contact with Zulema?
Yes.
Have you also reviewed the phone data attributed to Tammy Daybell and or her email account?
Yes.
Your Honor, I'm going to ask the witness be shown State's Exhibit 184E. And I will indicate there is a copy for counsel, the court, a courtesy copy for Your Honor as well.
All right.
Do you recognize that page?
I do.
And was that created by you?
It was.
Was that created based on a summary of some of the investigation you did in this case?
Yes.
Did that include review of phone data?
It did.
Was this created as an aid in your testimony today?
It was.
Would it in fact aid in your testimony today?
Yes.
Your Honor, I would move for the admission of State's Exhibit 184E.
Any objection?
Judge, we're going to object to relevancy. It appears that Lori was not, Ms. Daybell was not anywhere in the area and doesn't have anything to do with anything on here.
All right, response from the state.
Thank you, Your Honor. This is a review of phone records, not just data location, and so this includes texts and or I think it specifically just has the text messages indicated, but those do include messages to and from Lori Vallo.
All right, court's considered the objection. I'll overrule the objection as to relevancy grounds for the reasons indicated by the state as to relevancy that does contain information that may be attributable to the defendant. The
exhibits admitted as an illustrative exhibit. It's not to be considered evidence and will be instructed to the jurors that it is an illustrative exhibit.
And, Your Honor, I would request permission to publish.
You can publish it.
And before we go through this, through your investigation, did you learn where Lori Vallow was during October 18th and 19th?
I did.
And where was that?
Hawaii.
Okay. Can you take us through what we're seeing on this slide?
This is similar to the other one that I broke this down by text messages that were sent between Chad and Lori at the start at 6:13 p.m. to 8:24 p.m. Text messages between Lori and Alex. Text between Chad and Alex at 8:44. There are 12 text messages between Alex and Lori up until 9:04. Text message Lori to Chad, Alex to Chad, Chad and Lori. 11 text messages between Zulema and Lori. And then Alex, his electronic device shows up at 10:07 at an LDS church, approximately 2.6 miles away from the Dayville residence in Fremont County.
And just stopping you there briefly, so Alex's device arrives at the LDS church just down from the Dayville residence at 10:07 p.m.?
Correct.
And previously you'd talked about some text messages being exchanged between Lori and Chad, then Alex and Chad and Lori. Those started at 8:52 p.m.?
Correct.
And they ended at 9:43 p.m.? Is that correct? Or at least that was the last time noted?
For Alex to Chad.
Or for Chad, between Lori, Chad, and Alex, between the three of them.
Correct.
And I guess I should be clear, in varying combinations.
Right. They continue after that time as well, but up to that point, yes.
So Alex's device arrives at the church at 10:07, and then what are we seeing going forward?
There are four text messages between Alex and Chad between 10:12 and 10:28. At 10:22, there's a Tammy's phone is active and playing games. At 10:23 to 10:54, there are 10 text messages between Alex and Chad. And at 11:28, there's a JPEG that is deleted from Tammy's phone, a JPEG image. At 11:34, there are two texts between Chad and Lori. 11:46, Alex's phone is leaving the LDS church parking lot that was 2.6 miles away. And then Alex calls Lori from 11:53 to 12:09, right into the day of the 19th, or into the morning of the 19th. Lori sends Zulema a text at 12:10, and Chad sends Lori a text at 12:35.
And through your investigation, did you learn when Tammy was reported as deceased?
The morning of the 19th.
And do you know who reported that?
Chad Dayville.
Through your investigation, did you learn when Tammy's funeral was held?
I did.
And when was that?
It's 2 days after, 3 days after the 21st of October.
And you had reviewed some iCloud data and other data associated with some messages between Chad and Lori?
I have.
Your Honor, I would ask the witness be shown State's Exhibit 29E. I do have a courtesy copy for court counsel and then a copy for the court. Do you recognize those pages?
I do.
And are those pages that were created by you as a summary of some of the data you reviewed?
It is. I created these.
And would they aid in your testimony today?
It would.
Your Honor, I would move for the admission of States 184. I think it's F.
You have this marked as 29E.
Oh, excuse me, 29E.
Any objection to the admission of 29E?
No, Your Honor.
Exhibit 29E is admitted.
And I would ask to be allowed to publish.
You may.
Maybe a little blurry on the overhead projector, but can you see that on your screen?
I can see it.
Could you go ahead and indicate the date those messages were sent and indicate who they are being sent from, who's receiving them, and read them into the record?
Okay. This text chain was October 20th, 2019, between 7:48 and 8:33 in the morning. I put in here that Lori was currently in Hawaii. Lori's, the way this reads, is everything to the on the right side of the screen where her name is, and then Chad is on the left. Everything in pink would be Lori, and everything in blue would be comments from Chad. Lori starts, "I am missing you more. I need you desperately. Heart. I can't wait. Two kiss emojis. Need you to hold me tight. That would be great. What about the idea of you coming here Thursday or Friday? Or do you want me to come home? Question mark. Chad replies, "Their apartment is haunted and we can't clear the place. So they are looking to move anyway, and I have the perfect place for them. I need to be here to get some sorting, to get sorting the financial stuff, and I truly need your help. So please come home Thursday so we can spend the night together. Then as soon as I have things under control, we can return. I seriously want you to look for a condo for us while you are there, that we can return to at the first of the month." Lori replies, "I know exactly where we should be. I don't really care where we are as long as you are holding me forever. Heart emoji. I love," Chad replies, "I want to get going full," I believe it's supposed to be STEM, "on the Lily workout plan. Tighten the abs, get a full body tan, and grow my hair out. This could be really good for both of us." Lori replies, "I love that plan. Kiss emoji. It's not soon enough, though. This is torture. Maybe you need to clear my mind so I can't remember how much I love you. Heart emoji. I will try, but it feels like Raphael and Lily are together at about 100%. Not sure if this will ever be lower again." Lori replies, "That's true. I do feel you. Heart emoji. I feel lovesick. I can't sleep. I don't want to eat. I just want you. It's so consuming." And I think those are sad faces. Chad replies, "I know exactly how you feel. I am feeling sad, but it isn't for the reason everyone thinks."
And again, these messages are being exchanged the day after Chad reports Tammy deceased?
Yes.
And could you also indicate the date and time on these messages and who they're being sent from, who to, and then read them into the record?
October 20th, 2019, 7:48 to 8:33 a.m. Lori's still in Hawaii. "Lori, what's on your agenda today?" Chad replies, "Need to get ready to meet with the mortuary, but I hope to be able to talk in a few hours after I get my parents to go home. I love you so much, my sweet Lily. What time does Audrey arrive?" Lori replies, "She gets here at 2 my time, so 6 your time. We are going to Sacrament at 9 to see Lisa, hopefully. Kiss emoji, I love you, heart emoji. Chad, I love you most." On October 23rd, 2019 at 8:24, Chad sends Lori a text message. "I love you, Lily, eagerly anticipating our alone time, craving you intensely." 3 fire emojis.
And that last message, the 23rd, is sent the day after Tammy's funeral?
Correct.
Was Tammy Daybell's body exhumed?
It was.
Are you aware of the results of the autopsy?
I am.
What were those results?
Homicide by asphyxiation.
Through your investigation, did you learn whether or not Tammy had life insurance?
I did.
And did she?
She did.
Do you know how many policies?
She had two policies.
Are you aware through your investigation if those policies paid out?
They both did.
And do you know who the recipient of those was?
Chad Daybell.
And do you know when Chad and Lori got married?
I do.
When was that?
November of 2019, November 5th. I believe it's the 5th.
We talked earlier about this being a joint investigation.
It was.
And you were also involved in looking for the missing children?
I was.
As part of your involvement, were you involved in a search of the Daybell property that occurred on June 9th and 10th of 2020?
I was.
Was there someone that was in charge of that scene?
Yes.
Were you assigned specific tasks?
I was.
And, Your Honor, I've been handed State's Exhibit 10 and the subsequent parts. I would ask to be able to publish 10F. I'm not sure if counsel would like to see that first.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is it previously admitted?
Yes, Your Honor, it was previously admitted.
All right. Thank you, counsel.
And before I publish that, just a couple other questions. Are you aware of the last time Tylee was seen?
Yeah, September 22nd, 2019.
Was that Tylee or JJ?
JJ, I apologize. Yeah, and September 8th.
And JJ was last seen on September 22nd?
Correct.
And that was of 2019?
Yes.
When you responded out to the search, you said you were assigned a specific task in the search?
I was.
What was your role in that?
I was assigned to search underneath a tree on the north part of the property.
And, Your Honor, I would now ask to publish State's Exhibit 10F.
Any objection?
No, Your Honor.
It can be published.
Were you given instruction on how to conduct the search?
Yeah.
What instruction were you given?
We were instructed to slowly and methodically look for a very designated spot that we believe that somebody might be.
Did you notice anything regarding the spot where it was believed a body might be?
I did. From the vantage point of standing directly above the tall grass when we first got there, you could see that the contour of the earth was a little bit different. The grass was something had been disturbed in the like a form of a rectangle. You could see that from directly standing above it.
And what actions did you take in regards to the recovery?
So I began searching with a few other investigators. We cleared away that taller grass. We then slowly and methodically, under the direction of the FBI's evidence recovery team, peeled that first layer of grass back, exposed some dirt. We went down through the dirt. It exposed some rocks. We were using small tools, brushes. Once those rocks were exposed, we removed the rocks. There was more dirt. There were boards, two boards. And we removed the boards. There was dirt. And then exposed to my right, as I was kneeling down on my hands, there was what appeared to be shape of maybe a head in a black bag.
And so as part of the search, did you also use your hands?
Yes.
Were you sifting through the dirt and digging with your hands as well?
Yes.
When you talk about seeing the round object or what appeared to be a head, did you observe what was done next?
I did.
What was that?
FBI's lead cut a small hole in the black bag. It exposed a white bag. And he's cut a small hole in the white bag, and it exposed brown, blonde hair.
And you were present for that?
I was. And then my experience after that was this flood of emotion that we found him, that we probably found JJ, and thoughts of my own son that was the same age.
I have no further questions.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake. Cross-examination?
Yes, Your Honor.
Just trying to make sure I return the exhibits.
Morning, Mr. Edwards.
Morning.
How you doing?
I'm okay.
Good. So it looks like you first started working in 2004 with the Pocatello Police Department, is that right?
That is correct.
Did you have any employment before that?
I did. Yeah, I worked, prior to that, I worked for ISU Public Safety. It's campus security for Idaho State University.
Okay, and how long did you do that?
A couple of years. It would have been 2002 to 2004 as I was going through school.
You went to school at ISU?
I did.
Did you get a degree?
I have an associate's degree in law enforcement. I have a bachelor's degree in criminal justice, and I have a master's degree in strategic leadership.
All right. So you got your associate's degree. Did you get that at ISU?
I did.
Okay. And you said you had a bachelor's degree in?
Criminal justice.
Criminal justice.
Yep.
Where'd you get that?
American Intercontinental University. I did it online.
And when did you get that degree?
Now, that's a tough question. 2007? I don't know. I don't remember. It's been a while ago.
What, so
I have a master's degree as well.
Okay. So American Intercontinental, that's an online college?
Yes.
Is it accredited with the?
It is. It's an accredited university.
Okay.
Yep.
And your master's degree, where did you get that?
University of Charleston, West Virginia. Also accredited. I couldn't tell you the year I graduated on that. It's been a couple of years ago.
Okay. Is that also an online university?
It's a actual university. It's got a physical campus. I completed it online.
Okay. So you testify that you became involved in the Tammy Daybell case in April of 2020, is that right?
That is correct.
Okay. And you indicated that Tammy was working at a school as a librarian, is that right?
A librarian, yes.
Okay. And part of your investigation, did you go to that school and talk to anybody there?
I did.
Who'd you talk to?
I'd have to go back. I talked to a number of coworkers of hers. I'd have to look back at my reports. I did a number of reports. I believe there's 26 of my reports out there. But coworkers of hers that had worked with her and Emma.
Mm-hmm. Emma worked there too. You understood that?
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay. So there was... there was an exhibit, 184C, where you indicated that there were 90 calls and text messages between Alex, Chad, Zulema, and Lori between 9:12 a.m. on October the 9th and 2:28 a.m. on October the 10th. You recall that exhibit?
The one that we talked about creating?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
All right. You indicate that there were 8 text messages between Alex and Chad between 1:19 p.m. and 1:22 p.m.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about what those texts were about?
I actually don't know all of the context of each of those text messages and phone calls. We don't have the content for some of them.
So you just saw that there were text messages. You don't know what they were talking about?
Correct.
They could have been talking about going to lunch or going to dinner or any number of things, right?
Correct.
Okay. You indicated that there was some sort of an attempted shooting at 9:15 p.m. that night?
Yes.
Okay. And then there was an email that was shown to you or that you knew about, right?
From Tammy DeMarc, is that
right.
What you're referring to?
Yes. And in there, she brings up the fact that she thinks that it's some kid in the neighborhood, right?
Yes.
That shot at her?
That somebody shot at her.
Right. But she thinks it's a specific kid in the neighborhood, right?
I believe so.
All right. Did you talk to any? You said you talked to a number of neighbors.
I did.
Did you talk to this specific kid that was referenced in this email?
I'm not sure who that specific kid was. It wasn't mentioned.
Okay. Who did you talk to?
Talked to Regan Price, directly south. There were others. Again, there were other people that I interviewed. Specifically to the paintball question was Regan and Matt Price.
And who's Regan Price?
Their neighbor.
Okay. Approximate age?
Oof. That's a dangerous one. Younger than me.
Younger than you.
Younger than me.
You've been a police officer for a number of years.
I have.
You're a professional investigator.
Yep.
I think you could probably gauge someone's age, don't you think?
Late 20s, early 30s.
Late 20s, early 30s. And Matt as well?
Yes.
All right. And they said that nobody in the neighborhood had paint guns.
Not to their knowledge. Matt was a youth teacher or a youth advisor,
mm-hmm.
was going to try to coordinate some sort of activity with the kids because the boys wanted to shoot paintballs, but nobody had a paintball gun, was what I was told.
Oh, okay. All right. You were shown a photograph of a 6.5 Grendel, right?
Yes.
Okay. Did you actually handle that firearm?
I did.
So you know that it's a fairly heavy firearm.
It is a heavy firearm.
Yeah. A lot heavier than your average paintball gun.
It is.
Yeah. And you said that there was some sort of a search on Grendel drop from 100 to 300 yards.
Correct.
And you thought that that was interesting because Alex owned a Grendel, right?
Yes.
And there was an allegation that Tammy may have been shot at with a paintball gun.
Or with a Grendel.
All right. And so you, in the course of your investigation, you testified that you went out to the house, right?
I did.
All right. You probably asked people, or let me just ask you, did you ask anyone where Tammy was standing and where this person, this masked man was standing?
I did.
All right. And it was, was it more than 100 yards?
No.
No.
It was close.
It was very close.
It was.
And so you've talked about your experience in using assault rifles and the fact that you were on the SWAT team and those kinds of things. And reading the email about Tammy thinking that it was a paintball gun because she heard a click and a whoosh, is that consistent with someone shooting you at close range with a firearm like a 6.5 Grendel?
Probably not.
Probably not. You were shown Exhibit 184D, which you indicate that you made, that was a timeline on October the 9th, 2019, from 5 p.m. to 12:28 a.m. You remember that?
There were two. You have to show me which one exactly we're talking about.
Sure. Your Honor, can I publish 184D?
Yes.
Can I just use my copy, or should I use the court's or the original copy?
Well, if we can ensure that you've got the same information on yours, I don't mind for...
We'll just use the court. I don't want to make a record of it, of anything odd.
And I will indicate for the record, the copies were the same that were provided to defense counsel.
Okay, we'll just publish directly from the admitted exhibit.
So in looking at 184D, does this look familiar to you?
It does, yeah.
All right. And when you talked earlier about there being text messages between Alex and Chad and Lori and Zulema and Chad and Lori, and you don't have those text messages, right?
No.
So you don't know what they were talking about?
Correct.
Could be any number of things?
It could.
All right. You're not speculating that it was about this specific event, right?
Well, I could say that it was, based on my training and experience, I believe they were talking about an attempted shooting.
Okay. Of a paintball gun?
No, of a homicide.
Okay. All right. On Exhibit 184E, this is a timeline between October 18th and 19th, 2019, between 6:13 p.m. and 12:35 a.m. You remember that?
If you'll show it to me, it'd be great.
Does that look familiar to you?
It does.
Okay. Again, these text messages, you don't have any of them. You don't know what they're talking about?
Correct.
All right. And we look in the memo, it says 10:07 p.m., Alex's phone arrives at LDS Church 2.6 miles away, right?
Correct.
All right. There's been earlier testimony that said that this was actually, that there was some sort of a geofence, that it was within 150 meters. Is that correct?
I can't remember that. I didn't testify to that.
You're not going to testify to that?
About what?
About the geofence being around, and that's where they found it? That's how they got to arriving at the LDS church?
I got this from the CAST report, correct. If that's what you're talking about, I got this information from the CAST report that I reviewed.
Okay. So if the CAST report says that it's within 150 yards correct. Of the LDS church,
yep. Okay.
That wouldn't be at the LDS church, right?
Your Honor, I'm going to object. Counsel's adding testimony not in the record. And I think the witness had already answered regarding the geofence.
I'll overrule that.
So you're testifying to other people's reports, and you're saying that this is at the church?
Correct.
Right. But if the other testimony, the CAST report, indicates that it was 150 meters around the church, that would be more correct.
I'm going to object. This misstates the evidence.
I think it's bringing in facts that weren't testified to by the witness, so I'll sustain that.
Okay, Judge, can we have a sidebar?
Yes. All right, thank you, Counsel. You can continue with your cross.
So you were testifying that you had reviewed the CAST report. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. And you didn't review any of the geofence information that came from any of the search warrants?
I believe I reviewed it. I probably couldn't talk about it right now. I wouldn't know. I couldn't remember it.
Okay. Judge, we have no further questions.
Redirect.
Yes, Your Honor. Investigator Edwards, as part of your investigation, did you review phone data with other investigators?
Yes.
And were there other investigators that input the data and created charts or other information for and put it into a readable format?
Yes.
And did you review that data?
Yes.
And the distance from the church to Chad's house was approximately what distance?
2.6 miles.
When you reviewed contact on October 9th, and then again on October 18th to October 19th, was there contact between Alex and Lori?
Yes.
Was there contact between Chad and Alex?
Yes.
Was there contact between Chad and Lori?
Yes.
You were asked about if an AR was fired or if a Grendel was fired, if it would make a whooshing sound.
Yes.
If a firearm jams or misfires, would there be any kind of a sound?
No. There might be a bolt or something, that maybe the clicking on the trigger, number of things that could possibly happen. But if it jams before a round comes out, there might be minimal noise.
If a round was actually fired off and went by someone's head, would they potentially hear a sound?
Yes.
What kind of a sound might they hear?
A whooshing sound.
You were asked about whether or not you followed up on the report of a teenager that may be a suspect in regards to owning a paintball gun.
Correct.
And you did not follow up with him?
No.
Again, when you're conducting an investigation, do you go where the evidence takes you?
I do.
Did you locate evidence suggesting or showing a device associated with Alex Cox was in the area of the Daybell residence on October 9th of 2019?
Yes.
Did you review Google searches from a Homer J. Maximus regarding drops and other information regarding a drop from specific yards?
Yes.
And that was an account linked to Alex Cox?
Correct.
Did you also look at a Grendel that was found at an apartment associated with Alex Cox?
I did.
Did you find contact between Alex and Chad on October 9th of 2019?
I did.
And again, what's the connection between Chad and Alex?
Lori Vallow.
I have no further questions.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Blake.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
That was AG Investigator Nicholas Edwards taking the stand in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. There's more to come. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any of our coverage. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.